Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I just want to share with you a few minutes today. Let me start by saying I'm hoping that today will make us all begin to think bigger so we can ask bigger. I started to name it Ask Bigly, but I decided not to. And then Mark said I should say Ask Biglier. And so I guess there's no limit to words we can make up, are there? I want to read you a few verses, and I read these verses a lot, but I want us to begin to... I think the Holy Spirit's got a message today to stir our hearts. He's been stirring my heart this week, and I just am believing for this to be the greatest year that you've ever had. Okay? I'm believing God to be bigger in you this year than He ever has before. And I believe He's got big things for our church. And so I'm just trying to let Him put the big things in me so that I can handle when the big things come. So you always want to grow on the inside before you grow on the outside, or the outside growth will get you every time. Jeremiah 1, verse 5, and again, I read these verses a lot, but I just want us to think for a few minutes. He says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctioned," or "I set you apart. I ordained you," or "I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Holy Spirit, use me today. Use me to say, help me say what I should say, and help me shut up about what I shouldn't say. In your name, Jesus. Amen. We read this verse and we just kind of take it for granted. We just kind of read it and don't pay attention. But I want you to think about this with me, because I believe this was the message to every one of us. Before you were ever born, you were on God's mind. Before you were ever conceived, He had a plan for you. Before you were ever thought of, you were important to Him. He set you apart for something that nobody in the world can do like you can do. That doesn't have to be something great, some catastrophic something, but it can be the things in our everyday life, and usually it is. But I want you to begin to think right now, and I want you to tell yourself right now, I'm special. Say, I'm special. You're special to God. He had an idea about you before you were able to get ideas. I want to read Jeremiah 29:11. Goes with this. He says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans to prosper you and to not harm you. They're plans to give you hope and a future." Now think about that. The God that created everything has you on His mind. You're special to Him. He has a plan for you that nobody else can do as good as you can do. I realize if I don't do what God's got for me to do, somebody else will do it. But they just won't be able to do it as good. So I want you to begin to realize it. And His thoughts about you, His plans for you are good. They're good. He's not wanting you to go through a whole bunch of stuff so He can teach you something. He's not here trying to see how much we can endure. No, He loves you and He has plans to prosper you and to bless you and to give you hope and to give you a future. Now think about that. Now we have an enemy that's trying to stop that in our lives. But we've got to begin to understand and comprehend how great God is. We sing it. We just sang it. You're more than enough. We just sang it. But we have to begin to realize, I want you to realize He's more than enough for you. If you're the only one, and if you're the only one, His attention is focused on you. We know God sent Jesus into the world to save the world, right? But the truth is, He sent Jesus into the world to save you. Amen. You. Terry, I don't know if I'd give my son to save you, but God did.
Yes.
So I want us to begin to realize how God feels about us. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. If I don't take too long on this beginning, I'll be able to get there. But Ephesians 2:10, He says that we are His workmanship and that He has created us in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared for us beforehand that we should walk in them. Now listen to me. I say this a lot. I haven't spent enough time on it yet, but this isn't our good works. How many know we are supposed to do good works? Huh? If you get a good God in you and you're filled with a good Holy Spirit, you can't help but do good works. If He's making those fruits grow in you, the fruits of the Spirit grow in you, you can't help. You'll do good works. You'll want to do good works. But He's not talking here about our good works. He's talking here about His good works. He said, I have created you. He said, I have beforehand prepared all this goodness, all these good things, and I have created you in Christ Jesus, so now you can walk in all my goodness. Now you got to catch this. You got to catch it, because I don't hear anybody else preaching this out of the second chapter of Ephesians. But they're going to. I'm not claiming to be anything. I'm just saying that God won't let me get away from that. Because that whole chapter, He's talking about His grace and how that it's not what we do. It's not by our works, but it's all because of His grace and that we receive what He's done for us by faith. We receive everything that grace has provided by our faith. Are you with me? And if you back up a couple verses there, he says, He has raised us up and seated us with Jesus. He has raised us up in His mind, in His sight. He has raised us up to the same level of Jesus. Listen to me. He said, He's raised us up so that in the ages to come He might show us the exceeding greatness, the exceeding riches of His grace. The exceeding kindness that He has. Are you hearing me? He said, I've raised you up, Hank, so that I could show you. Let me tell you something. When Paul said this, he said, so that in the ages to come He could show His kindness. He could show His grace. This is the ages to come, by the way. We're living in the ages to come that Paul was talking about. And it's still going to be ages to come, and ages to come after that, and ages to come after that, because this is a never-ending thing. I want you to get this concept. This thing starts by faith. We receive grace. We receive the price that Jesus Christ paid for us. By faith, we receive that grace of God, and we're forgiven. We're made a new creature. We're reconciled with God. All things have passed away. Everything becomes new. Now we're back in favor. We're back in relationship. We're back walking in harmony with our God again. Because of what Jesus did. And we don't have to go to hell. We get to go to heaven. How many's glad about that? But I give him some praise for that. It deserves some praise. I don't know what hell's like, but I'm not going to find out. I'm not going to find out because of him. Huh? But this is what I want us to begin to understand. We preach salvation, receiving Jesus Christ. We preach that as the final destination. We preach that as the whole gospel. We preach that as, and how many know that that's the most important thing? But what I want you to begin to see and think about salvation, when you ask Jesus Christ into your heart and He became the Lord of your life and that changed you and the old things were passed away and all those old sins were forgiven, when that happened, that wasn't the end, that was the beginning. That was the open door. He said, Hank, open the door to everything I have for you. Open the door to all my riches. Open the door. You do that by using your faith and receiving the price I sent for you. He's my son. His name's Jesus. And when I receive, I wish God would have told me this 43 years ago. And maybe He did. I just wasn't smart enough to pay attention. It's the open door. It's God. He opens the door so that now I can show you the exceeding greatness of my kindness towards you. Now that you've received the price I've paid, now I have big plans for you. I have big ideas about you. Now you can step into all this goodness that I've been working on all these thousands and billions and trillions of years. Imagine a God that has... There's no limits to His goodness. No limits to His capability. A God, and He has nobody to express that to. Imagine being a parent that you're so full of love and so full of desire to do for your kids and your kids don't receive it. You have no kids to give it to. I just want us to begin to realize that it's the open door. It's the open door for all the big things to happen in your life and in my life. Ephesians 3, he tells us that Paul says he wants us to be rooted and grounded in God's love, in Christ's love, and that we might realize what is the width and the length and the depth and the height of the love of Christ. Which is more, and it's greater than we can ever comprehend. Can't you see Paul? He's trying to tell us, and he's trying to go. I can just see him, and he just runs out of words and starts talking in tongues. Because there's no words big enough to express this love of Christ for us. This love of God, who in verse 20 says, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, because of that power that works in us, because of that love of God that works in us. Whew. Well, I could quit now, but I won't. Now do you understand? Jesus is getting ready to go to the garden and go to the cross. And in John chapter 14, can you begin to understand the bigness of God and what God's trying to let us see and what He's trying to, the invitation He's trying to give to us and where He wants us to walk and some of the things He wants us to step into? And Jesus says, hey, He says, in John chapter 14, He says, hey, whatever you ask in My name, I will do it. So Father can be glorified. Did you hear that? He goes on to say, if you ask anything, if you ask anything in My name, I'll do it. I want you to see. Do you understand that when God's able to do big things in my life or do big things in your life, that it glorifies Him? It brings Him glory. Oh, He loves to take somebody like some of you that are down or that have been down and life has just kicked you and just hurt you and just destroyed you. He loves to take somebody like that and fill them with His Spirit and begin to work in them and build them and edify them and make a giant out of them, man. Oh. So, you don't know all the troubles I've had. You don't know all I'm going through. Hey, that's great. You're a prime candidate. The less you are, the more He can be. So why don't you just quit feeling sorry for yourself? Quit thinking little and start thinking bigly. And just go, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh. Listen, when God laid this plan out for us, when He laid the plan out for your life, He put everything in place, everything in motion, so that you would be able to carry that plan out. And when He set up your life before you were born, He didn't set up your life with you just having enough and just barely getting by. He's a God of more than enough, and He had big things in your path, big things in store for you. He doesn't want you to just get by, just survive, just endure. No, He's the God of more than enough. Do you believe that? We believe that. We believe that. But I'm going to, give Him some praise. Go ahead and give Him some praise. He's worth it. He deserves it. Now, we all believe that. I'm going to say something that shocks you, but 99% of us in here, and I'm probably in that 99%, We only believe that in our head. We don't believe that in our heart. Because we know He's able. He's able to do it for Kenny because Kenny's more spiritual than me. He's able to do it for so-and-so. Listen to me. When He set out your, He's the God of abundance. And He said and called your name and said, I want to live in you, and I want you to live a life of abundance. Amen. Stories all through the Bible tell the story of that. God never wanted us to have just enough. He always wanted us to have more than enough. Well, only four of you believe that, but a few more are going to believe it before we get done. Well, okay. Let's. How many know the story of the fish and the loaves? Jesus multiplied the fish and the loaves. He had five fish and seven loaves, either that or vice versa. But, okay, we know what He did. We know He took those five fish and seven loaves and He broke them and he fed thousands of people. Now, they counted 5,000 men. But probably most of those men had a wife, and probably most of them husbands and wives had two or three kids. So can you see there was a multitude of people there? And when He got done, He took up all that was left over, and there was 12 baskets full. Now here's what's amazing about the story. They counted those people before they fed them. He knew just how many people was there. So if he just wanted them to have enough, why didn't he just feed them all till they were so full? And the Bible says they ate till they were full. Man, their bellies were sticking out. Why didn't he just make enough then so that everybody got full and there wasn't anything left over? No, there was 12 baskets full left over, and he even counted them so they'd be put in the story right, so we'd know that we serve a God that's more than enough. More than enough. Well, he wants you to have more than enough. Well, I just don't believe that, Hank. Well, I know that's why you don't have more than enough. Get me, I'm not trying to I'm just trying to stir our thinking here, because if we think bigger, we'll ask bigger. If we ask bigger, we'll receive bigger. He said, I want to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you can ask or think. Well, then quit thinking little. Start thinking bigly. Quit thinking lack, and start thinking more than enough. See, we've let the devil sell us with a bill of goods that if we have too much, then we must not be right. And if we have too much, then we're not as spiritual. And we've even developed a mentality that if you don't have anything, you're more spiritual. Folks, you don't find anybody in the book that way. Are you hearing me? Now, I don't expect to change everybody's thinking here, but I do expect to plant a seed in there that the Holy Spirit takes and starts to work. Because Jesus said, as your faith is, so be it. How come some Christians are great Christians, they're warriors, and they don't have anything? But you know, on the other side, you can find some Christians that love God and interceders and doing great works for God, and they have millions of dollars and they have all kinds of things that they're using for the kingdom. How come some Christians are good Christians and we still get sick? I can show you some Christians that are good Christians and they don't ever get sick. Why? Jesus said, as your faith is, so be it. You with me? See, we develop a mentality. We develop a mindset. Life does that to us. We do that from the time that we're born. It's getting inbred into us. I don't really believe in generational curses. The way some of it's being taught, because I believe we're blessed and we're not cursed, but there is such a thing as a generational curse that dominates us. Well, the Israelites were a good example. Israelites were slaves for 400 years. What happened when they got delivered and things got tough and things got where they didn't know what was going to happen, and they didn't know how they were going to eat, and they didn't know this? They said, oh, let us go back to Egypt. They've been slaves so long that being a slave was comfortable to them. And they didn't want to be shaken out of their comfort zone. Well, one time when Moses made Pharaoh mad, and you know, the Israelites made bricks. So the Pharaoh would bring straw and hay, and they would make bricks out of it for the Egypt. And one time he got mad at Moses, and he said, okay, don't give them any more straw, and don't give them any more brick or any more hay. And then he told him, he said, you still have to have the same quota. You still have to make just as many bricks. In other words, he said, You're going to have to work 40 hours overtime, and you're only going to get paid for your regular pay. Now I know how they prayed. They said, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to find the materials to make these bricks. Help us, Lord, to find the things we need so that we can get our quota. Do you understand what they were praying? They were praying, God, make us better slaves. Instead of saying, God, deliver us. Take us into that land of milk and honey that you've promised us. Instead of praying that, they're praying, Lord, help me to function in my dysfunction. Listen to what I'm saying. It's easy to have slave mentality. It's easy to, my parents were poor. When we grew up, man, if we had some beans and some rice at the same time, we were big time. Are you hearing me? Now I know you Yankees up here ate cornbread, but we ate beans and rice down in the South, you know. And so we are developed as we think poor. My parents were poor. My mama was poor. My grandparents were poor, and their grandparents were poor. And do you understand? See, a mentality gets in us, and so we ask from a point of lack. We ask from a position of lack. Greg and I talked with a businessman in Florida 7 or 8 years ago, and he went to this church, real good church. This man probably was a millionaire, and everybody in his church had plenty of money. And I remember Greg asking him, said Troy, what do you teach in your church? You don't teach prosperity in your church. And Troy said, no, we don't have to. He said, we all got plenty. We don't have to preach prosperity. We all got plenty of money. He said, we preach getting close to God and living for God. And I just said that to say, do you understand? Somebody coming from a position other than poverty? How many think you would think different? You would ask different? And you would expect different, wouldn't you? Huh? I don't want to lose you. I'll stop here if we need to. I don't want to lose you. What God's trying to tell you is, I took you out of the kingdom of darkness and I put you into the kingdom of my dear Son. Now Paul says, renew your mind. Think different. Don't think poor no more. Don't think sick no more. Somebody called me up the other day, made a special effort to call me up to ask me if I had what was going around. I said, no ma'am, I don't, and thank you anyway. I think I'll just pass this year. I transferred you, Hank. Renew your mind. What do you think Joshua was talking about when he told Joshua? He said, meditate. Meditate day and night. Meditate what? Meditate in what I say. Meditate in my promises. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid to step up to the line. Don't be afraid to go in there and take the enemy. Don't be afraid to cross that Jordan. Go over and get them. And if you'll meditate in that day and night, you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. So, well, Hank, what's going on here? Well, we got to make a shift sometime. And I'm just silly enough to believe that God wants to use you and us and a few others that He's going to be bringing in here in the next few months. He wants to use us to be an example. Amen. To be an example of what He really can do through a person. Amen. I mean, what He really can do out of a no good, worthless, non-talented, undeserving person. I volunteer. He wants to take somebody who doesn't have nothing and do big things in your life so He can be glorified. Oh, if you got a business, you need to hang on. You need to grab onto this today. And if you plan on starting one, you need to grab onto this today. If you're working for somebody, grab onto this today. You start making that person you're working for, you start having in your mind to make that person prosper, and I promise you'll start prospering. Well, that's another sermon. Another sermon. We've got to quit praying little. We've got to quit praying for God to help us function better in our dysfunction. Oh God, help me. Just help me in this crisis. God, just help me in this time of my need. Help me to get enough. Help me to have enough to pay my bills. Help me to have enough to take care of my kids. Help me. He doesn't want you to pray for enough. He wants you to have more than enough. Boy, that rubs the religious spirit wrong. When I started seeing this and started believing it or trying to believe it, I felt like I was backsliding. Because I wasn't getting down on myself all the time and telling myself how no good you are and telling myself how worthless you are and telling myself how I've used a little more of this, if you'd have done it this way, when I started trying to quit doing that and realize my God loved me, He has a plan for me, He has big things for me, and as I walk through my everyday life, great things are supposed to happen for me, I have His favor on me. And when you start trying to change that thinking, you feel like you're backsliding. I mean, I came from what background I had when I was a kid. When we took communion, we felt guilty because if you eat or drink of this unworthily, you eat and drink damnation. And shoot, I knew I wasn't worthy. And so did everybody else in the church. Well, are you asking today to become a better slave? Or are you asking for abundance, for overflowing, for more than enough? That's the kind of God we serve. God says that you are to reign in life. He says that you're blessed and you can't be cursed. He says that whatever your hand touches will prosper and succeed. He's telling us, don't pray, Hank. Don't pray to just get by. Don't pray to just endure. Don't pray to just have enough to get through this thing. No. Ask me big, and I'll do something bigger. I'll do something bigger, exceedingly bigger than anything you can ask or think. You can still be living in the trailer if you wouldn't have saw a farm. You'd still be working for somebody if you hadn't have saw a light, a tunnel, a hole there to step through, a doorway to step through. He's saying, don't pray to just get by. Pray big, Hank. Pray big, Hank. The doctor's report wasn't good. Thank you, Father. That report wasn't good, but I have a better report. You said with long life you would satisfy me. You said by the stripes that Jesus took that I am healed. You did it. So Father, I pray that way. I don't want to just get through this sickness. I want to be delivered from this sickness. I don't want to just learn how to cope with this disease. I want this disease gone out of my body. In your name, Jesus. Pray, God. What are you doing? Isaiah 55 says, my word won't come back to me void. How many know it says that? You ought to know. I preach it every week just about. My word won't come back to me void. This is God talking. It will produce. It'll be fruitful in the things that I sent it to do. Amen. God spoke His word into the earth. How does His word come back to Him? We speak it back to Him. Amen. We speak it back to Him. Yes, Father, this is a bad report. This medical report is a bad report. But I have a better report. Amen. Amen. See, whose report will you believe? Well, don't pray. Don't pray for God to help you through that disappointment, help you through that. I mean, how many glad He does that? I mean, man, there's been some times when I just didn't know how to pray and I just had to say, help. Amen. You ever been there? Just help. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying, man. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be thankful. Man, I'm thankful for everything. I just sit yesterday and I just started thanking God for everything, the little things, the big things. I just thanked Him that even through all my wrong moves and my bad decisions and my failures and all that, I just thanked Him that He still was using me and He still hadn't given up on me. Are you hearing me? So I'm saying, man, I'm talking, be more thankful for the little things, but don't stop there. Don't be afraid to ask for the big things. He'd just as soon you have some of the big things as somebody in the Taliban to have them. Are you hearing me? He'd just as soon you have an oil well in your backyard than all those folks that don't even serve Him that have oil wells in their backyards. Don't pray, God, help me. Help me with my loneliness. Help me put up with this depression. Folks, that's praying with a slave mentality. That's praying, just turn that thing around. And maybe it's like we were talking a while ago, how life, and if you want to call that a generational curse, you can. But I'm talking to somebody that you're fighting addictions, and the truth is your parents were addicted, and their parents were addicted, and so you're just settling, I've just got to be addicted too. But once you break that thing, maybe God has it in store for your life for you to turn that thing around. My parents were poor. My grandparents were poor. Their parents were poor. As far back as you can look, everybody was poor. But God, maybe you put me here to break this curse of poverty. Maybe you put me here to make a difference. Maybe you put me here to be a pace setter, a changer. Amen. Young people, listen to me. Don't you settle. Don't you settle for what you have. Don't settle for anything except the bigness of God. Amen. If you want to go to a university, then start believing God for a scholarship. Start believing God for the things that take place in your life. I want to go and my parents can't afford it. You got a daddy that can afford it. Start believing Him. He'll open doors where nobody else could open. And by the way, nobody else will be able to shut them. He'll cause you to meet the right people at the right time. He'll cause you to be in the right place at the right time. Amen. It's called favor. Amen. And some of you older ones, you need to do the same thing. Amen. I don't want to go to college. Yeah, but you got some dreams. You got some dreams that have never come to pass. Once you start believing for them. Well, I just don't see how any way how it could happen. I just don't. I know. Why don't you ask God for something that's impossible? Amen. Why don't you step out into a place? Why don't you step out into an area that if He doesn't come through for you, you're going to fall flat on your face? He'll come through for you. Hmm? And not because you stepped out, or not because you heard Hank say it, or not because somebody else did it and you saw it work for them. No, it'll work for you because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did. You believe in the power of His resurrection. You believe in that new life that's here living inside of you. The one He used and breathed life into us. One He used and spoke and everything came into existence. That one lives inside of you. Whew. Wearing myself out and I only got to page one. See, why don't you ask for more? I love the story of Elijah and Elisha. I love them guys, man. I love it when Elijah went to the widow's house and it was time of famine. And what did he tell her? He said, "Fix me a cake." Now, if I told you today, put your grocery money in today and God will take care of you the rest of the week, you'd run me off. Well, you ought to, because I'm not going to tell you that unless God said it. But he tells her, "Make me a cake." She said, "Well, we'll die." "So, well, you're going to die anyway. You only got enough to eat one cake and then you're going to die. Why don't you make me a cake?" And she did. And what happened? All through the famine, all through it, her oil never ran out and her meal never ran out. Woo! That's the kind of God I serve. She had enough, didn't she? Oh, but I like Elisha's story better. He goes to the widow woman and they're gonna take her son because of a debt. And he says, "I tell you what you do, lady. Go out, you and your son, go out and gather up all the pots, all the vessels, anything that'll hold oil. You go gather up everything in the neighborhood you can find and bring it in here." And they went and gathered up stuff, and I'm telling you what, he started pouring oil, and he filled up this pot, and they'd bring him another pot, and then they'd bring him a cup, and then they'd bring him a jar, and then they'd bring him a hollow piece of wood, and everything they brought, he just kept filling it up, and kept filling it up, till all the vessels were full. More than enough. Do you know what? If she'd have got more vessels, he might still be pouring oil today. Are you hearing me? She limited by how many vessels she got. He didn't say get so many and stop. He said go get all of them you can find. I love those two stories. Here's the thing about Elijah and Elisha. Elisha didn't say, man, I mean, how many think Elijah was something else? We're going to get to see him pretty soon anyway. You know that? Huh? We're going to get to see Elijah pretty soon, man. Whoo, can't hardly wait. I just want to listen to him for about 1,000 years. I just want to listen to the stories he can tell. Are you alive?
Yeah.
Get with me and I'll quit.
Amen.
I got it. I got the message. If you got to go to the restroom, just hold on just a minute and I'll quit. How many think it'd be pretty neat to be like Elijah? He called down, stopped the rain, then he called down fire and he all the stuff he did. But Elisha wasn't satisfied with that. Elisha asked God, said, "Give me a double portion." Yes, he's my leader, yes, but give me a double portion. Do you know if you study it out, Elijah did 16 miracles, Elisha did 32. "Well, I'm just not much. I just," hold it. God can make things happen for you that couldn't normally happen. He can do things in your life that there's no way that they could happen. He makes the impossible possible. He takes the natural and adds the super to it. It's supernatural. We're to walk in the supernatural. That's not just miracles. That's taking everything that's natural, that's talking to the wind, talking to the storm, that's walking on the water. He takes the natural and makes it the supernatural. That's breaking up some fish and some loaves and multiplying them.
Amen.
That's spitting in the mud and putting some mud on your eyes and your eyes healed. That's speaking the word and your leprosy's gone. Excuse me, your cancer's gone. I'm just saying, my question to you today is, are you asking big? Huh? Are you asking big? Well, I don't even know where to go on this. So, Jesus walked through the town one day. It's a good story to end with. He was walking down through the town one day, and there was two blind men over on the side. And they started raising a commotion. They heard that Jesus was there, and they started yelling and screaming. And all the people said, be quiet, don't bother the master. Be quiet, quit making a fool out of yourself. And they yelled louder. And he's walking, and he hears them yelling, and he stops. And he goes over to them, and he says, what do you want me to do for you? What a silly question. They're blind. Why would he ask such a silly question? He wanted to see what they believed. He said, what do you want me to do for you? They could have said, Jesus, man, we just need some help. We're blind. We can't work. We need a little better place to stay. We need a little bit more money. We're having a hard time, Jesus. Would you help us? They didn't ask that way, did they? He said, what do you want me to do for you? I said, we want to see. We want to see. And they walked away seeing. And all the people that was telling them, don't bother the master, they walked away with in their same dysfunction that they walked up there in. I got enough left here to do another message on this. So get ready. I won't do it today. How about that? God's asking you the question today. Are you hearing me? He's asking you a question today. Are you listening in the back? He's asking you a question today. What is it that you want me to do for you? Now, how you answer that question is going to determine a whole lot of what God's able to do in your life. Those blind men looked at Jesus. They didn't look at Jesus. Those blind men, when they said that, they were saying, Jesus, we know that you can make us see. Jesus is asking you today, what is it that you want me to do for you? Put John 14 back up there if you've got it. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it so that Father can be glorified. So I'm telling you, ask anything, and I'll do it. Are you asking? When God first hit me with this question the other day, I'll be honest, I didn't know what to ask for.
Amen.
I located myself real fast. Since then, He doesn't want to ask me that again. Huh? Because ever since then, I've been asking for stuff. And the biggest thing I asked for this week was, God, do something in the hearts of these people. Plant something in there that begins to grow so you can be as big in their life as you want to be. Give him some praise. Everybody stand up. Let's just praise him. Let's just praise him. What is it that you need? What is it that you want? Once you dare to ask him for something big. The greatest thing that you can ask him today for, if you're not saved, is ask him to save you. And you do that, you get saved by asking Jesus Christ into your heart. Everybody shut your eyes for a minute. Who in here doesn't know for sure if you died right now, you don't know you're saved? Raise your hand. First of all, how many here know you're saved? Got Jesus in your heart? Raise your hand. Okay, who couldn't raise your hand and you don't know for sure that you're saved? If that's you, nobody's looking, just raise your hand right now. Okay, who else? Just being honest, sir. Who else? Who else? And we're going to sing a song. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus, you haven't made him your Lord, I want you to come down and let us pray with you today. Okay? And I know there's one or two in here that you don't know for sure. And if that's you, come on down. Let's sing. And if you are saved, won't you just begin to praise God and thank him for saving you? Just begin to praise him and thank him for his goodness. Just begin to thank him for all that he's going to do for you and all he's going to give for you. If you need to come down, come. Maybe you've been saved and you've never been baptized. We want to do that today. We'll baptize you today. If you need to come down and just let somebody agree with you and pray with you about something, we'll be happy to pray with you. But if you need to come, you come now. Is he more than enough? Tell him he is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's one more that you don't know for sure that you're saved. Come on down. Let us pray with you. Everybody sing this. He is my God. Praise the Lord. Is he more than enough?
He is my God.
How many think you might start thinking about asking a little bigger? Just think about it. Just think. If you change your thinking, you'll change your life. Okay? Jesus said, as your faith is, so be it. So why don't we just start believing for the big things of God? He's going to do them for somebody. He might as well do them for some of us, hadn't he? Hadn't he? I speak his blessings on you, and I believe that he'll take seed, the seed of his word, and cause it to grow in your heart, and it'll grow so big that you'll be like a tree, and everybody that gets under your branches will get shade. Every place you go, you'll be a blessing. I'm believing God to be able to show out in your life, and every place you go, there'll be rivers of living water flow out of you onto everybody that's there. Hey, I love you. See the board members at 5 o'clock, and Lori's speaking at 6:00.